Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
How's it going, Katie?
It's good. How about yourself?
I'm good. I would have been better had that false start for the podcast a few minutes ago actually not
You
happened.
Should have heard what we recorded, you guys. You should have heard it.
We had an amazing show. Luckily, it was only like 2 minutes worth of a show, but now we're really doing it. We're really, I see the numbers and they're moving. Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we'll be talking about possible nominees for the Album of the Year award at the upcoming 2020 Grammys. Who are the strongest contenders? And who are some of the possible surprise spoilers waiting to snatch a nomination? Well, we will discuss all of that in just a moment.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider. Like and subscribe so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. Also want to say, as a listener note, we are in a different room than we normally record the show. So if you hear a weird humming in the background, we can't help it.
Sorry.
But you may not even be able to hear it. It could be just us hearing it, and listeners can't even hear it. But I'm just saying that as, like, full disclosure in case someone's like, man.
The audiophiles among us.
Man, you guys, get it together. Okay, so let's talk Grammys. The 2020 Grammy Award nominations will be announced on November 20th, and the eligibility period for the upcoming awards ran from October 1st, 2018 through August 31st, 2019.
And what is now a continuing series for us, we are taking a look at possible contenders for the Album of the Year category. Since we have previously done episodes focused on Record of the Year and Best New Artist.
Next week, we're going to do Best Surround Sound Album.
I was like, guess what's next?
So the Album of the Year category recognizes a full album. Not a single song, not the writing of a single song, not the recording or production of a single song, but the album as a whole. So that can mean everything from writing and production to the album, to the mastering and the engineering, the whole shebang.
Yes, there are many nominees involved in an Album of the Year nomination.
Oh, yeah.
So let's look at some of the likely contenders for Album of the Year. And as always, we have consulted our awards editor, Paul Grine, who he has been writing very insightful stories about forecasting for the Grammys for months and months and months on Billboard.com.
Yeah, almost like every 2 days, there's like a new like Grammy watch.
Yes, and Album of the Year so far is his most solidified pre-nomination article where he makes his picks for the 8 albums he expects to be nominated.
Yeah.
So we'll see how well he does.
So here are actually the 8 albums that Paul thinks are probably locks for a nomination for Album of the Year. And there are 8 possible slots. There are 8 nominations. I'm assuming, I think they will do 8. I don't think they will veer away from that and suddenly, oh, sorry, there's a tie. It's only 7.
Yeah, isn't there a thing with the Oscars where...
The Oscars have it different.
They have a way, like if it doesn't reach a certain threshold, then they won't have the full 10 nominees.
I think it's different for the Grammys, though, so we're going to go with 8.
Yeah.
Here are the 5 albums that Paul thinks are definite locks. Billie Eilish's When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? Taylor Swift's Lover. Ariana Grande's Thank You, Next. Lizzo's 'Cause I Love You, specifically the deluxe version of the album, and Maren Morris's Girl.
And then to round out those eight nominations, he has chosen these three final picks, though he does not refer to them as locks. And those are Khalid's Free Spirit, Tyler, the Creator's Igor, and Beyoncé's Homecoming, the live album.
Okay, so should we kind of just discuss these eight and think, in our opinion,
yeah,
is Paul right?
I mean, we respect Paul. Let's just start with that.
Yes.
Also, he listens. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
But really, let's talk about what we think. Out of those eight, what are your like strongest picks from those?
Okay. I think Billie, Ariana, and Lizzo are kind of like done deals.
Those are your locks.
I think those are just, there's no, I don't see any way that they're not nominated.
Two of those are also my locks.
Okay.
I think Billie and Lizzo are locks.
Do we think any of these eight are like just knocking on the door, like clearly right about to get in, or are they all kind of like in the same mix?
I think you and I disagree on this one, but I think Taylor Swift's Lover has a really good shot. And I know that Reputation missed the cut a few years back. And so a lot of people are wondering whether or not, you know, she used to be a pretty reliable pick for this category, but knowing that she can be left out of the mix, will Lover make the cut? I think that since Lover has been released and has been critically and, you know, commercially consumed, I think the opinion has only gotten better. And maybe it's from her performances of the songs, taking the non-singles out for a spin a lot, you know, taking, you know, SNL. She did Lover, which is a single, I believe. I don't know if they ever officially released that as a single. Did they?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But she's, and the Tiny Desk concert, she's been doing some deeper cuts from it. And I think that has only raised the opinion and the credibility of the album. So I think I would put that in my locks.
Yeah, I don't think that's a lock necessarily. But I think considering her track record, she's probably a lot more likely
Than some other people
outside of these eight.
It's interesting that Paul chooses Maren Morris. I think that he is smartly thinking that there will be a country representative in this category. Kacey Musgraves won last year for, or this year, I should say, 2019, for Album of the Year. So it's smart to think that there will be a country contender, and I think Maren's a pretty good option. I wouldn't say lock.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at it and you think there should be some sort of country representation in the category. And if anyone, it could be Maren Morris.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very logical thing to think of.
I don't want to skip ahead, but can I say one other thing? Just because in Paul's article, he mentions what he, and to his mind, are three other very strong country contenders who I guess could be, you know, trying to get that Maren spot. And those would be Eric Church's Desperate Man, Thomas Rhett's Centerpoint Road, and Kane Brown's Experiment. So those are all ones
like
to think
Maren's
about.
I still feel like Maren's the strongest.
I think Paul made the right choice as far, if there is a country contender, I think he made the right choice.
I feel like, Beyonce getting nominated for a live album? I don't know about that.
Yeah, Paul's written a lot about this because it hasn't happened in a while. It used to be a lot more regular, and I don't want to misquote his reporting, but I do remember him talking about Tony Bennett's MTV Unplugged, for instance, winning.
Yeah, it's not highly normal, but if it's...
But that was like early 90s, so yeah. It has been a long time since that has happened.
But it was undeniably a huge pop culture moment when she performed at Coachella.
Yes.
There
was a minor hit off of that album too, with the Frankie Beverly cover. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, there was. So you can see how there is a road to a nomination there. And it's also Beyonce.
Yes.
So there's that.
And Paul also said in his reporting that it could be considered sort of a makeup call for maybe the, you know, Academy choosing Adele over Lemonade, you know, a few years ago or something like that. Like the
so he's suggesting that maybe if she gets nominated, she could win for this.
He didn't say win. It's more like that he thinks that a nomination is more likely because it's this like idea of the Grammys or the Recording Academy like owing Beyonce something.
It's like, hey, Adele doesn't have anything out this year. Here's a chance. I think all of Paul's suggestions in these eight, and we have to move on, yeah. all these eight are very quality contenders. I think Tyler, the Creator is kind of an outside shot, but it did get great critical reviews.
And it does feel like hip-hop should also be represented in this area.
There
and
should be some sort of hip-hop album.
Yeah,
there.
And as Paul has also noted, sorry, I'm just regurgitating Paul, but Drake did not enter his
care package
compilation.
Thing.
And Drake is pretty reliably nominated here.
Right.
Chance the Rapper is a possibility for his, what is it, The Big Day?
Yep.
But as you and I were discussing earlier, that was not the most warmly received Chance project,
no.
even though Chance himself is beloved and embraced.
Right. Okay, so Paul also had a whole list of kind of other albums that he framed as possibilities that have, you know, that are in at least the discussion.
Yeah, and he also is aware of what is actually entered. So
yes.
these are things that are actually entered into contention.
And then Katie and I, so we're not going to go through every single one of these, but Katie and I, what we did was we went through all of those and kind of highlighted ones that we personally felt that, you know, we were kind of like, you know, seeing how that is a possibility to us, like basically our selections.
Yeah.
And then we also added a couple that Paul didn't have
yeah.
on his list.
Yeah.
So, hey, Paul, we're throwing you a curveball.
The one I wanted to just discuss, and not that I actually think that it's going to get nominated, is Ed Sheeran's Number 6 Collaborations Project. This is a sort of a weird one because it's hard with an album like this where you are, every single song is a collaboration, to have sort of a cohesiveness, and that's, I think, probably something the Recording Academy is looking for in an Album of the Year candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a weird one to, like, necessarily think is going to get nominated. Ed, meanwhile, was nominated for Multiply, was not nominated for Divide. So, like, there's also a spotty track record just
Let's
with Ed alone. Yeah, so.
Well, and the other thing going for the Number 6 Collaborations Project is that you have every song being a collaboration, so every song has another artist on it that could be voting for you.
Yeah, and not just another artist voting for you, but the camps
the
of all of those various artists and people that work with them.
Another album like that, which is not on Paul's list, but something that we were just suggesting, recent friend of the podcast, Sheryl Crow, with her album Threads, every song is collaboration, and every song has sometimes more than one collaborator, and a lot of those collaborators skew older,
mm-hmm.
so they're going to have more of an established history with Grammy voters. A lot of, I mean, I counted
just
up.
Full on legends.
I counted up. There are more than 150 Grammy awards across her collaborators.
Whoa. That's something to look at.
That's just awards, not nominations.
That's
how many they've won.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So if you just look at that, you're like, maybe. And she has like a very cohesive story around it. There are all the
right.
threads around, you know, her life, and all these people inspire her. And so, I mean, it's a very compelling story.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two that have a lot of people behind it that could help it. Some other possibilities. Very pop-oriented. Jonas Brothers' Happiness Begins.
I think that'd be really cool, honestly. This is it's a really good album. It is very polished and very pop and very, like, you know, of the machine. It's people that, you know, songwriters and producers and whatnot that are putting out the shiniest pop there is. And it's great. It's like, and it's the whole comeback has been really fun.
That said, they might just have to settle for Record of the Year for Sucker.
Honestly, if they get any Big Four category, I'm sure they will be pumped as all hell. They obviously were nominated for Best New Artist when they first came out,
but
that's it.
That's been their only Big
Four
nomination.
Yep.
Another fun one, and this came in right at the beginning of the eligibility period, was Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper's soundtrack to A Star Is Born.
I really want this to get a nomination. I think if I'm making my Dream 8, this is in there. And I think it's different than a lot of soundtracks because, you know, these are two people playing, you know, these fictional artists. And so it's almost like a duo album of Jackson Maine and Allie from
yeah.
the movie. And so it's like a little different than your typical soundtrack and a little more cohesive in that sense. And some of the best music, some of my favorite music from last fall is this album and this movie. You also brought up another soundtrack. The Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that had such a big hit with Sunflower from Post Malone and Sway Lee. And it was a very successful album. And it's a hip-hop album.
Yeah.
And
We need this. There needs to be something hip-hop in here. So
it would be a way to recognize a huge movie that had a big soundtrack with a huge number one hit, and also hip hop at the same time. Yep. And you know, they've gone this direction before. They nominated the Black Panther soundtrack a couple years ago. That had more hit singles on it, so I can see why. And that had a different kind of momentum, but Spider-Man is a possibility. I think it's kind of an outside shot, but it's a possibility.
And to that point, this was not on Paul's list. This is Keith's own
Spider-Man and Sheryl Crow were on Keith's own
personal list.
Okay, so we've already mentioned Kane Brown's experiment in terms of the country options.
Yeah.
I think we both think possibly Maggie Rogers, heard it in a past life, could get in there.
Love that album.
Certainly a very strong contender, I think, for Best New Artist.
Yes.
I think Katie mentioned this one earlier. Louis Capaldi's Divinely Uninspired to a hellish extent.
Speaking of this album, I mean, we brought up Ed Sheeran, and I think that when he first came out, he was a little, like, he was definitely embraced by the Recording Academy. Louis feels like the kind of character that the Recording Academy is going to like.
Right.
And this was a massive album in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody you used to love. That's right. Did I just say it right? Someone you used to love? I said somebody.
Yeah.
Someone you used to love is, like, just now, like, setting on fire in the U.S.
Perfect timing.
And so I think that will make it so other people start discovering this full project that's already been this huge hit overseas. It just all feels like it might line up really nicely for him.
Katie also mentioned the 1975's A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships.
That's just a great album.
Yeah.
So
I think
that's my stance on that one.
So yeah, there's that. That was also on Paul's list.
Yes.
A couple things that were not on Paul's list that we would like to mention. Here's mine, and then
yeah, Katie, you go first.
So this is super oddball, but it actually got pretty good reviews. The first album from this act in a very, very long time, had a big debut. Very buzzy. Tool with Fear Inoculum. Number one album. Tool's never been nominated
People
for any big award.
People were rabid for this album. Like, it came back with such a huge bang. Like, they came back with such a huge bang. Like,
I mean, it'd be such a weird, like, nomination.
I could see it, though.
But I'm like, I don't know. I mean, they have 8 slots.
And, like, rock has always been overappreciated by the Grammys, so I think that might help a little
True.
bit, but more like traditional rock. This is a little harder probably than what the Recording Academy normally celebrates, but I don't think this would be, I think it would surprise people, but I don't think it would be entirely out of like left field.
I think it's probably more likely than, like, you know, Slipknot
yes
getting nominated.
Yes. If we're talking hard rock,
someone that I before you say yours,
yeah,
and I should have put it on here but I didn't, Vampire Weekend's album
Father of the Bride,
thank you. Mm-hmm. That had pretty great reviews, and
another welcomed comeback,
number one album.
Mm-hmm.
That's a possibility, because you would think if you have a nice well-rounded top, you know, 8, it's like there's gonna be a lot of pop, but you want a hip-hop, you want a rock, you want a country, you want to make sure that you're kind of not only representing like the best, but also maybe kind of represent all the genres.
Diversity.
It's mm-hmm. not, you know.
Especially with 8 picks, there's room to really like let the cream of the crop of each genre shine,
yeah,
sort of, you know, of each major genre.
As long as it's sensible sounding.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we were talking about Latin albums, you know, whether a Spanish language album has ever been nominated for Album of the Year, and we learned from speaking with awards editor Paul Grine that it has never happened before, which is sort of stunning when you think about all the mainstream crossover success of songs, Latin songs, that mm-hmm. has happened recently. So the one that I would kind of throw my weight behind and has been submitted is Rosalia's album El Mal Querer. Let me say that with a sad rolling R.
We suggested, and I think Paul suggested in the past, that she is a likely contender for Best New Artist.
Yes. Probably the more likely.
Probably more likely that
nomination.
She'll get a Best New Artist
yeah.
nomination. And I think because Latin music and Spanish language music has been so track and single dominated in the past few years, it's less about a full body of work and more about individual tracks. I think that's why we see more track recognition maybe in the top categories like Despacito. And what was it? I Like It?
Yes.
With Bad Bunny and Cardi and the third person whose name I just fell
out. J Balvin.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think it's a possibility, but who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. It feels like only a matter of time that a Spanish language album will break through here.
And not to say that there hasn't been like albums with Spanish on it. Like I immediately thought of Santana's Supernatural.
Oh, sure.
Which is not, there is Spanish
artists
on it.
Who you would consider Latin artists have been nominated, but not a Spanish language album.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll find out if we did well with our predictions and suggestions on November 20th.
I feel like
20th.
We're in competition with Paul now.
Well, I don't know. I think we, I think we blurred this up enough.
We're all on the same team.
Can't really tell. who do you think will get a nomination? Someone that we haven't thought of?
Tweet us. At KT Atkinson and at Keith_Caulfield.
Throw in Paul there, too.
We're like the Democratic debate candidates throwing in their websites at the end of their closing arguments. Did you not see that? Oh, my God.
No,
last week.
I didn't watch the 7-hour marathon. I did not. I saw the highlights later.
It was so tacky. It was like, and now go to www. And they used the www.corybooker.com.
To find out who I am.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
That's terrible. I'm so sorry, Corey. Okay. Now, it's time for the chart stat of the week. And it's Quiz Katie time. Katie.
Oh, Quiz Katie.
Surprise.
Hey.
Of the winners for Album of the Year, which was the most recent winner that was not a top 10 charting album on the Billboard 200 chart before it won? So therefore, we're not counting the albums that zoomed into the top 10 after they won. We're looking only those albums that, you know, before they were announced the winner, they had never gone top 10. Because obviously the exposure of a huge Grammy win has caused many an album to vault far up the list.
Okay, I have an instant guess.
Oh, okay,
my
great.
My instant guess is Beck's Morning Phase.
No, that actually debuted in the top 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, and how recent are we talking here?
I mean, within the past 20 years.
Oh, 20.
Well, less than 20.
I mean, what about that Herbie Hancock, Joni?
Ding, ding, ding,
Joni
ding, ding.
Joni Letters, The River. What's it called?
I think you're...
The River, : Joni Letters.
Stop. So it was Herbie Hancock's River, : The Joni Letters.
Hey, that was a lie in all the words there, just in a total word soup.
Released in 2007, it won Album of the Year in 2008. The album debuted at number 118 on the October 13th, 2017 dated Billboard 200 chart. It spent one more week on the list and then vaporized off the tally until February 23rd when it re-entered at number 159 after I think like a day of impact after the Grammy Awards. And then, the next week, the album vaulted all the way up to number 5. That year, River, The Joni Letters, beat out the following albums.
I was just looking that up, so you have this in front of
you. I do, win Album of the
Year. I mean, I know Kanye's in there.
Kanye West, Graduation.
Yeah.
Amy Winehouse's Back to Black.
Yeah.
Foo Fighters, Echoes, Silence, Patience, and Grace. And Vince Gill's These Days.
I mean, I love you, Herbie. You've done great work. The idea of Graduation and Back to Black being denied that Album of the Year.
Vote split.
Oof.
Old people voting.
Oof.
I don't know.
Wild. Right. Wild.
So there you have it. Fun little throwback to 2008 when Herbie Hancock's River, The Joni Letters, took home Album of the Year without even having previously visited the top 10, 40, or even top 100 of the Billboard 200 chart. I wish I had a river so long I could teach my feet to fly. All right, we've reached the end of our big Album of the Year Grammy show.
Kanye's still mad about that.
Any parting words?
Oh, should we listen to a song from that Herbie Hancock album to finish? Or did we already hear one in the intro to Quiz Katie?
Well, no, I didn't put one in the intro because that would have given it away.
Oh, right.
So I was going to suggest actually Herbie Hancock's most famous song, which is
Rocket. Oh, Rocket. Please, let's do that.
All right, see you guys next time.
Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.